us, Sister read that passage from Ezekiel. My mind, I suppose, went by force of habit into the Revelation. And the wonder of the glory and the marvels of the Lord to us, this marvelous age, this dispensation of grace and revelation in which we live, how superior it is. For Ezekiel saw the throne of God, and you know, if you're familiar with that section, from Sister read a portion from it, how that you get the sight of the throne and the living creatures and the wings and the wheels within wheels, and you get the firmament above and the firmament below and the fire and the amber and the lightness of the appearance of a man. It seemed as though Ezekiel, with all the inspiration of the Spirit, couldn't get down to clear, plain statements at all, and leaves us in a wonder of mystery and glorious, the obscurely revealed God. That sounds a contradiction in terms, doesn't it? But it's right. And this was all they were allowed under the old covenant. When you come to the new, we see this throne, and I'm in the book of the Revelation, and we're told who the man is that's upon it. His name is the Lamb. It's all so wonderful. And in the 21st and 22nd chapters, you know this tremendous truth. And as you go down through the 21st chapter, you find John now, he's looking right into the holy city. He's looking into New Jerusalem. And he says in 22, I didn't see any temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And we go right down, and you will know, of course, in chapter 22, at the throne, in verse 3, is in the midst of the street of the city, and so on, and so on. And we know, beloved, in plain manifestation, this glory that Ezekiel saw enfolding itself, now it's shown what it is. It's revealed. It's the Lord God Almighty who has enfolded into himself, taken back into his bosom, his Lamb, and us with him. And what a precious and marvelous thing it is, beloved. It's quite typical, of course, that the throne, even in its symbolic manifestation under the figure, and for the revelation then in the Old Testament, had to be hidden behind a curtain. And now, beloved, as you've already been reminded, and I think that when we come together, we always do remind ourselves of this by the power of the Spirit, that the veil is utterly rent, and the throne of grace is all revealed, and the glory of God is all made manifest. The glory of God should be no problem to us at all. The great fire that enfolds should be known to us quite plainly, in that God has done the simple thing of fusing us together by fire. That's fire is the great fusing thing. He's melted us and fused us all into one and burned us up in his wonderful love into himself. And oh, this is the great revelation that God wants us to understand. What a precious and marvelous thing it is, beloved, that God has enfolded us into Himself. Oh, praise His name. In Ezekiel's revelation, the light was amber. When it comes through, the amber has refined itself into gold. It's a golden color. It's all become clear. It's all precious. Amber is gold, a little bit tinted with red. It's gold and the blood, of course. And now the blood has done its work. We're refined right through to pure, sheer, golden glory. The light of the Lamb is permeating all the city. Amen. Shines crystal clear. And it's all so wonderful when we're in this heavenly state. Now, my beloved, this is why the Holy Ghost has come, to bring us into the knowledge of the glory of God, that we might live in this wonder. Oh, the great refinings of the Spirit to bring us here. Oh, the power and working of the love of God to have us all in this crystal clarity with the Lord. And when we go back from this book of Revelation and we get into the first epistle of John, that lovely verse that we know so well, where we're told that the message is this in verse 5 of the first chapter, that God is light. There you are, the Lamb is the light thereof. God is light. Amen. And in Him is no darkness at all. You see, there's no darkness at all in Him. None of us should have any darkness in us at all. If we're in Him, He's in us. No darkness. Haven't got any darkness in you, have you? Not a shadow, is there? Nothing. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, it's the next phrase that rather shatters you. John says we're lying. He doesn't say we've made a mistake. He says we lie, and we don't do the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now you see, beloved, the tremendous thing about it is that God, and this was the thing that thrilled and flooded and carried away my heart a little earlier, that we're in this fellowship of the Lord. Now, beloved, if you're in this fellowship of the Lord, there mustn't be any sin. Can't have any sin here. Can you? If it really is the fellowship of the Father and the Son in the Spirit, can't have sin here. But God couldn't have sin in Himself. He couldn't have sin. He came right out from Himself. Jesus did. He said, I've come forth from the Father in order to deal with sin. Right out from Himself He came. Is that right? He came right out. Couldn't have any sin in God. So He came right out and went out to the absolute extreme and hung on a cross right out there on Golgotha. And He took sin right out there in the God-forsaken place. dealt with that. Is that right? And then went back up in here. You see? Up in the he says, we're in here. We're not out there. You've been out there, that's soon enough with you. Is that right? Is that right? That's right. Now we're in here. Let's get the logic of it. Let's get the truth of it. If you're going to have fellowship with God, you can't have sin. Why? You can't even have darkness. You can't have anything here. Hallelujah. What a precious and marvelous thing that the Lord wants us to understand. We've been brought into the fellowship. You know, this is something that defies words. That's why when even you read inspired words, it doesn't always bring the great truth home to you. It defies expression. This is something that when you put it into words, it seems to lose its wonder. And its luster seems to fade away. It's something that's felt and known. It's something that the heart grasps and the spirit can get right away in and try to bring it back down into print again and say we've got the inspired word and, oh, hallelujah, but the word was only inspired in order that it might inspire you. That's right. It's you with a spirit. It's you. You that's been redeemed. You, glorious you, lovely you, redeemed you. You've got to be away up in this fellowship. Lifted away by the spirit to live and walk and love and idealize and move in reality and walk in it all the time. For my beloved, Jesus Christ marries his ideal. He's given you the picture of her in words at the end of the book. He marries his ideal. Hallelujah. He's united with his ideal. He died for her. He gave himself for her. Praise God. She came up out of the thought of his own heart. Out of the imagination of the thought of his heart. She came up out of the very seed of his life. Out of the blood of his veins. That's where she's come from. Hallelujah. You've got to live here. If you're going to be in this fellowship, can't have any sin. Yeah. If you're going to live in this fellowship, you can't be in the dark. Amen. And all we have to do is to walk in the light, beloved. What a tremendous thing this is. Are you living here? And walking here in this marvelous place with the Lord. You know, beloved, Paul is very clear about this tremendous thing. Let's go into the Ephesian letter and see what he says. He uses a wonderful phrase here in this glorious third chapter. He says that unto him, verse 8, of the third chapter, he says he's less than the least of all saints. This grace was given that he should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. There it is, the fellowship of the mystery. I tell you, it's a mysterious fellowship. And you've got to see what the fellowship of the mystery is. There's no doubt about it that God is a mystery. And he's a mystery that only can be known to whom he reveals himself. He had to reveal himself to our father Abraham. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. That's right. This is what Stephen says ere the stones begin to smash into him, before he lays down his life. And, beloved, God is a mystery. Isn't revealed in the book. The book tells you about it. I read this for years before the mystery was revealed to me. It's all about it here. But it's a personal and glorious coming of God, and you and I are to enter into it. You're to give yourself up to it. You know this, don't you? You're not allowed to do what you think. You're to give yourself up to this. Oh, you're not to get all sort of mysterious and sort of, want to run about and grow a long beard and wear a cloak and sandals and a staff in your hand or something like that. That's not what you're to do. Well, I don't know what women do under these circumstances, but I can only talk about my own sex. But what you're to do, beloved, is to let the Lord take you over and up for this. You're to be made to see the fellowship of the mystery. And in this great mystery, beloved, there's a tremendous fellowship. And I want to tell you that you're called to have fellowship in this mystery. That's what you're called. And Paul says his great job was, and God gave him the grace for this. This is apostolic grace. You know who apostles are. They make men know what the fellowship of the mystery is. You can find them. God gives them grace for this. To make all men see what the fellowship of the mystery is. This mystery, brothers and sisters, it embraced sin to deal with it out there. This mystery embraced a cross. This mystery embraces the sacrifice of all time and eternity. This mystery, it takes in all other mysteries. You know about the mystery of iniquity that was working, dealt with that. Amen. This deals with all the other mysteries, the mystery of Satan. Satan's a mystery. But he's dealt with. Glory be to the name of the Lord. The mystery of death and the mystery of life. It's all dealt with by our great God. You're to be in the mystery, beloved, of it all. Oh, I've been in it this morning, because I'm living in it all the time. But when we come together, being in the mystery. Transports in a moment, of a sudden, a company of people can be transported so that they leave loose sight of everybody else and everything else, and they're away, and they can love, and they can be as those that have passed the borders. They can be as those who are with him gathered home. They can be as those. They're out of this world. They're out of it all. They come back into it and they preach this gospel and they work for others to bring them in. Oh, beloved, you're to be made to see the fellowship of the mystery. Our fellowship. Says John, let's go back. These apostles, they're tremendous men. This revelation they've left for us, beloved. Let's go back into that first epistle. This is what he says. Verse 3. Right in the middle of the verse. Truly, he says, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And as you know, we perhaps thought these things before, some of us, when we've been together. And there's only one who can talk like that. There's only one who can talk about in fellowship with the Father and the Son. It's the Holy Ghost. And John's talking like the Holy Ghost. He says, oh, the church has got to talk like the Spirit. Our fellowship with the Father, with the Son, it's the Blessed Trinity. We've been caught up in the Spirit into this glorious Trinity.
Yes, amen.
Our fellowship is with the Father. It's the Holy Ghost talking, whispering to you the secrets of heaven. The Lord unfolding his heart. It's in print here. That it may be in life, in you, and in reality. In reality, truly, our fellowship is with the Father, with the Son. And our fellowship is with one another. I can't have fellowship with Father and Son if I'm out of fellowship with you. I may think I can, but I can't. You only got to read through this epistle of John, you'll find that he says, you say you love God and you don't love your brother, you're a liar, you're deceived. Don't you think that? The whole truth of it is here, beloved. It's a marvelous thing. It's this enfolding that our sister, this word has brought to us. It's the enfolding. It's not the excluding. It's the enfolding. It enfolds all it can. Yes, of course. You see, and all that isn't part can't come in. It isn't seeking to exclude. It's exclusive in this sense, but it's inclusive. It's enfolding. The Lord will only enfold what is of itself. That's all. So you can go anywhere. You can be with anyone. Because, beloved, the fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And it's also and Paul says, my job is to make all men see. We'll go back into that Ephesian letter. Make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Praise God. Now, my beloved, the purpose of this is that all the principalities and powers in verse 10 in the heavenly places should see this manifold wisdom and glory of God. This is its purpose, beloved, to make them all see. And here we are this morning, and as surely as we're here, we don't get any big ideas or anything like that. We're a mystery to the principalities and powers. The devil says, there, can't do anything about it, can you? We might as well stop. You see, they all have a look. All the angelic beings, all the orders in the heavenly host, all the principalities and powers. Marvelous thing. God should do this. And here we are. And all the wicked ones and all the haters of us, they have to keep outside. They can't touch this fire. They can't touch this, beloved. Amen. What they want to do is to lure you away from it and get you out of there. But here, beloved, we're in God. Now, what a tremendous thing this is, beloved, that we should live and move in this tremendous fellowship. And this is the church, should be known by the church. The manifold wisdom of God. What a fellowship the church is then, beloved. What a fellowship it is. The church is none other than Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost having fellowship. You think that out. That's what it is. Hallelujah. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in glorious fellowship. You nuts. Living his life in us. Now you're not surprised, are you? When you go back to the first chapter of Ephesians, you get another word beginning with F, and it's in the last verse. The church is his fullness. His fullness, so it's full fellowship. It's the fullness of the fellowship of the Lord God Almighty. Oh Lord, I want to worship and adore you. And I see this thing so gloriously rich and wonderful that I'm part of this manifestation of the fellowship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. This church. Praise God. It's got nothing to do with buildings. It's got nothing to do with ordinations and vestments and man's elections to ministers and elevations to whatever it is, got nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with it whatsoever. This is a mystery revealed from heaven. Are you in it? Oh, this has to entrance your heart, carry your mind away, sweep over your being, have control over you, be the great driving factor of your life. You've got to die for this. If you die, live for this while you live. You've got to give for this, all your money, all your energy, all your time. Everything's got to be devoted to this by the example of Jesus. Everything. I scarcely think if you're in it, if you're not in this mind about it. I can't believe you're part of it. If this hasn't taken over, you've not known what the fellowship of the mystery is. All the time you're choosing and cheese pairing and counting costs and I don't know what. My beloved brother and sister, the one word that will cover it is abandonment. Utter abandonment. Without a thought. One, I've got to sit down and think this out and think that out. Glory be to God, the Holy Ghost has come and he brought me the mind of Christ who sought it all out before I was born. Amen. Amen. That's why he says now, before you get into this, sit down and think it out. See? That's right, Luke 14. Before you get into it, sit down and think it out. Because once you're in, it's abandonment. Count the cost before you get in. But once you're in, the cost has been counted. And the price has been paid. And the thing's been outthought. And it's all being worked through to the last detail. Just abandon love. Just abandon, my beloved. And let the Spirit of God carry you through. Amen. Amen. So then, it's not only fellowship, but it's fullness. Fullness. This is a glorious thing. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him. What a way of speaking about the church. The fullness. Well, what's that? Have you ever seen its shape? Do you know its size? What's it like, this fullness? Well, we can get some clues as to a personal thing that if you want to know what the fullness is bodily, what it can be in a human body, look at Jesus. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then think, if all the fullness is in me, this is what my book tells me, and it's in thee, and you get it all joined together, and it's all mysteriously, gloriously, wonderfully mixed. Because there's that in me which will mix with what's in you, brother. There's that in me which will mix and flow through you, sister. Yes, it's all the same. Right. This is what the fellowship is. This is what Father said. You want to see the Father? You see me? You see the Father. He says, we're all the same. We're all the same in this fellowship. All the same. Hallelujah. And what a glorious thing it is. And in the second chapter, you have another wonderful F, and this is, it's a slightly a different figure. And it says in verse 21, all the building in him is fitly framed. Together. I'm not fitly framed as a little odd bit on my own, you know, marvellously carved. I'm only framed fitly if I'm together with you. I've got to fit into you somehow. You've got to fit into me somehow. We've all got to fit right in, but not anyhow. It's all a marvellous working of the Spirit of God. We're all fitly framed together. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. You know, you're thinking of a temple, probably, because this is what the figures, you know, fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple of the Lord. Well, what's that? So you immediately, perhaps you may think of Wells Cathedral, or St. Peter's at Rome, or you might have been abroad and seen something marvellous in India. I don't know what you're thinking, but you're on the wrong track if you're thinking like that. Listen, I saw no temple therein. Here's John. For the Lord God Almighty is the temple. The Lamb. That's right. That's the temple. It's not the fit framing of one stone into another and carving out one notch or niche or some tenon grooved and tongue. It's nothing like that. It's all by the Spirit fitly framed into. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The Lord God Almighty is the temple. It's a mystery. Do you know? But I understand this mystery. I understand this. You see, because it says fitly framed together. See? Then see, beggared for word, how you have to confuse your metaphors. Groweth. We'd say build it. No, groweth. There it is. Amen. Listen, let me take you to a phrase in the 11th of Ecclesiastes, shall I? You needn't bother to look it up. This is what it says. Thou knowest not how the bones grow in the womb of her that is with child. You don't know how that fitted together. You don't know how it happens. Yeah. But it's there. It's all fitted together. It's all grows. It's all marvelous. Amen. There's a sense in which we're sort of in the womb of God about this. I know we've all had a personal new birth, but this is right. So that the Lord calls the future the regeneration. We're all going to come up into that. In the regeneration, he says. And Jesus has lived on earth for 33 and a half years as a man. And in resurrection, listen, this is what God says. This day have I begotten thee. Pardon? Yes. Mystery upon mystery. Wheel upon wheel. Wheel within wheel. But oh, it's wonderful. It's all good. And I understand it. I tell you why. Because I've been brought into this process by even coming to this world. There's something in me which my mind doesn't grasp, but my spirit understands. I've been in the fact that I've become a man. I've been introduced, oh kindness of God, to introduce me thus. I've been introduced into the principles of the workings of the mystery. Fallen as I was when I came, yet now the fall has been reversed. I'm not a downfaller, I'm an upriser. I've risen up in the likeness of him. I'm in the mystery. Oh, don't you try and work it out. The Holy Ghost has come to work it out, and you'll only understand this in retrospect. I promise you that. You mustn't demand to see it in prospect before you'll have anything to do with it. You must let the Spirit carry you in, and then he'll teach you. Then he'll give you understanding. Then he'll open your eyes, and then you'll begin to see what this man said, that his calling was to make all men see. What was the fellowship of the mystery? Oh, think of God, through an eternity past, having fellowship with a consideration of Calvary central in his heart. It's going to do it for you, for me. Think of it. Think of it. You know, I felt this morning we should have had some bread and some wine here. Did you feel the same? Yeah, bye. It was just the morning. I'm not a slave to bread and wine, but praise God, I've entered into the fellowship that's above there. That's the symbol. I'm not a slave to it. I don't worship it. Glory be to God. But there are times when it is just it, when the Spirit says. But never mind, beloved. Here then is the truth. And whether we can break bread or drink wine here this morning isn't really the point. It is, beloved, that we're in the fellowship of the mystery. If we break bread and drink wine and we're not in the fellowship of the mystery, but we're in it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, listen. In other ages, he says in the fifth verse of the third chapter, this mystery, he speaks about it in the end of verse 4, this mystery was not known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. And it's a pity that the Greek does, that the translations, no translations that I know, bring this out, even with all your modern ones. The fellow heirs and fellow members of the same body and fellow partakers of his promise in Christ by the Spirit. Fellow is the moving word. Fellow is the great truth. We're in the great fellowship. Amen. Paul's particular point, part in his apostolic ministry, was to the Gentiles. And he's emphasizing this, and he magnifies his office occasionally. But the tremendousness of it all, beloved, is that we're in this marvelous thing that God is doing. And is your heart right open to it? Now, you've got to make men see this. Now, you can't make men see this, my beloved, unless you walk in it. And live it. You've got to live it. You understand? You've got to live it. Amen. So that as you walk this world, as you move in and out amongst men and women with their conditions, all their troubles and all their sins and all their weaknesses and their sicknesses. Oh, beloved, you've got to move amongst them as a representative of the fellowship. I'm not meaning your particular denominational link up. I'm meaning the fellowship of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Then shall the Lord fully perform his work. He'll reach out and he'll touch people unknown to you, but known to him, whose names are already in the book of life, who yet have to be reached, yet have to be called, yet have to be brought in, so that they with us can enjoy the fellowship and the great mystery of it all. Amen. Now let's pray, shall we?